I'm a little disappointed. I don't think Biggie knows this, but this weekend I took his advice, as I so often do.
Biggie's advice.
He recommended a show to me, and I hate watched it. I always want to prove him wrong. Anytime he recommends a movie or a show to me, I always say to my wife, let's watch this and really stick it to Biggie to make sure he knows it's not good, even though he recommended it. That's my whole thing.
Does part of you think, Kelly, that Biggie is a simpleton and is easily amused?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is that I feel that
way. Is it just that you think so highly of yourself that you don't take? Because it's not just me. I mean, it's me mostly.
But
you
so
do
many
it
others.
To everybody,
so many
too.
Yes. Things that people grab onto and they're like, yeah, this is great. The Sphere in Las Vegas. People say it's the greatest thing ever created. I'll never look at it. I'm like, no, I reject.
Yeah.
That's almost psychotic.
Mm-hmm. I reject it. I won't see it. I will not. So anyway, Biggie recommended this Lyle and Eric Menendez show on Netflix. And I immediately thought, that won't be any good. I'm not watching that. I have no interest in it. I remember, those murders took place when I was freshman in college. And it's probably the day I started my freshman year in college. The date of the murder was August 20th, 1989. That's literally probably the day I took.
You're packing up.
I think I was there. I think the first class was like the 19th. The freshman year. And so I would see it on the background on TV and stuff, but I knew sort of what was going on, but I never really got into that story. I wasn't really into true crime, as you know, my wife is.
Oh, yeah.
So Biggie said, you really ought to watch this Menendez show on Netflix. It's a fictional show. It's not a documentary.
They're all actors.
And he liked it. So I went home and said to my wife, Biggie's recommended this show. It ain't going to be any good. And she said, well, I've already seen the first couple of episodes, and it's outstanding. And I was like, all right, let me be the judge of this. Well, I watched a half hour, and I was like, I'm in. This is great. I loved it.
The first episode.
Yeah.
It pulls you in. It pulls you in because the things that are in there, you're like, this can't be true. This cannot be true. And then, like, I'm wiki watch along with it, and I go read, and I go, my God, that is true.
It's right. So I binged it this week. I've got one episode left. There's nine episodes. I've got one left. How far are you into it?
I am four episodes in.
Okay.
You passed Biggie.
By a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. That's perfect but here's why I'm a little miffed at Biggie. I texted him, I'm watching the Menendez show, episode 5, which is your next one. Unbeknownst to me, The Hurt Man, that's the title of the episode, is one of the best acting performances I think I've ever seen in my life. And I didn't hear from Biggie. I didn't hear back from him. And I thought, I turned after about 12 hours, I turned to my wife and I said, Biggie died. And she went, what? And I said, Biggie's dead. And she goes, what is his family? I was like,
who told you?
No, I said, no one's told me. I just know. He and I are connected by an invisible string. And he, because we're best friends, and I said, I just wrote him this amazing thing. I just said, the fifth episode of the Menendez show is some of the best acting I've ever seen in my life. And he didn't even respond. And she goes, well, that doesn't mean he's dead. I said, yes, it does. I know exactly.
Your world, it does.
My world, it does. Well, a few hours later, some other big group texted, and Biggie and I were both on it. And Biggie, within 2 seconds, like, wonderful, this is great. And I was like, and I turned to my wife, I said, Biggie lived.
He pulled through.
He's fine.
Must have been gas.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, all weekend he left me hanging. I was like, I think he put me on red. You left me on red.
The only thing that would have made this even better has he gone bubble, typing bubble, typing bubble, typing bubble.
Worse.
Nothing.
Worse. I don't want to be accusatory. We're best friends. We are best friends. What happened?
Well, when the text first, this is actually an interesting kind of thing you talked about.
All right.
First, when the text came in, I was at a chili cook-off.
Oh, that's
with
right.
With BB Shea judging.
Oh, God. I bet you two split on that. How did BB Shea do with that? You know how opinionated he is.
He's a harsh judge.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we were adding up the scores, and he goes, man, yours are
way
higher than mine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I tried to be fair. But, hey, you know what? It evened out. We got a winner.
Yeah.
And I even said to him, No, Kelly texted me. He's watching the Menendez Brothers show.
Mm-hmm.
But then we went back to judging.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking, and he's watching it as well.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
Yeah.
So then the day just went on, and then that group text came out.
Yeah.
And I wrote back, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Love it.
That's right. Yeah.
And then I thought, as I sent that, I thought, no, I never answered Kelly.
So you knew.
Should I? And then I was like, well, it's been a while now. Should I just answer him or should I just see him Monday? I'll just see him Monday.
You couldn't even send the thumbs up emoji?
Unbelievable. Didn't even.
Well, I also thought, you know what else I thought? Let me watch tonight so I can get ahead.
Yeah.
So I watched 4, but I never got to 5. I got sucked into something else.
Let me tell you, this show, if it's accurate, and I think it probably is, it's really compelling. I'm enjoying the show very much. And I only have one episode to go. Anyhow, that particular episode, you're going to see it today?
Today. Should see it today.
Let me tell you what this episode is. Chris Dim, as a studier of film and photography, I think you'd like that. I'm going to tell you what the episode is. It's Eric Menendez, and he's in jail at this point. You know, the Menendez brothers jailed for killing their parents. You know the story,
mm-hmm.
1989. And so Eric is in jail, and his lawyer comes to visit. And she comes in, this is episode 5, walks in, says, how you doing, whatever, sits down. The camera is behind her and on him. And that's it for the entire 40 minutes. It's just those two talking. There's never a cut. Huh. There's never a cut in the thing. And and it slowly, at first it's like behind her, you see the back of her head, and it's on him. And it slowly, over the course of 40 minutes, zooms in. So at the end, it's just his face. And it's some of the best television I've ever seen. I had to read about the episode. They filmed it 10 times without a break. And the 10th one is the one they went with.
Okay. Mm. Well, I'll tell you this.
Unbelievable.
The two Menendez guys playing the Menendez brothers are unknowns.
And
they've had small parts, and they're great.
Unreal. And the well-known Javier Bardem, who I've always loved. You know that.
What?
Javier Bardem.
Since when?
I've liked Javier Bardem since I saw him in that really good movie with Tommy Lee Jones.
No Country.
No Country for Old Men. Scary character.
Oh, yeah.
And I really like him. I've seen him on some podcasts, and I just think he's a fun and likable person. I don't know him from Adam's House Cat. But I feel like he's a really good guy. And he's outstanding as the father in this show.
Mm.
This show is great. I'm going to recommend this show to anyone. I'm interested to see what Big is. My wife did a deep dive on this. A lot of young people now think the Menendez brothers should be out of jail. There's a real movement to get them out of prison.
Yeah, that kind of bubbles up every now and then.
Mm-hmm. Because they were abused.
Like you said, the story is 30-some years old.
Yeah, right.
They, you know, of course, their claims of being abused. I don't know how I feel about them.
Well, they were really abused the way they said they were, but there are always other options than killing your parents. I mean, they just walked in on them watching TV and cold-blooded killed them.
What were they watching, the parents?
You know, it never says, but it was a Sunday night. They planned it for a Sunday because the housekeeper wasn't there.
Well, and
I think it was a Sunday night movie. They love L.A. Law. They were watching L.A. Law a couple of times.
It was a Thursday night show.
I know. It wasn't that night, but they're in the TV room in the same spot. And they're like, what are we watching tonight? L.A. Law, and they're eating ice cream.
Well, that's just it. There's a writer for Vanity Fair. That's the episode I just watched.
Dominic Dunn.
Yes, who kind of paints this picture that you don't. See, the one thing about the show which I like is I don't still know how I feel, like, if they did it or not.
Yeah.
But they paint it from so many different angles, too.
Right. Yeah.
Because, like, the writer made it sound like they were quietly eating ice cream and fresh fruit in there watching. And no one knows if that was true
right.
or not.
Well, you'd think you'd see the ice cream bowls. But
going back to were they guilty or not?
Well, they definitely did.
I mean, there was a painstaking trial, though, correct?
Well, they did, yes.
I mean, all these allegations came up.
Here's a really interesting thing. On the Menendez trial. Now, they definitely did it. They eventually, of course, they
absolutely.
Did. And see, right after the murders, they tried to pin it on the mob, and they went out and spent tons of money. They live like playboys. They're completely unlikable. I mean, they are horrible, horrible children. Yeah. They were 21 and 18 at the time. And but the parents, you don't like them either. At least according to the allegations by the sons, you know, a lot of sexual molestation, all of these things. But nobody really knows if that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you this. Biggie hadn't gotten to this.
It's kind of hinted at least in the episodes I've seen, like, it's almost kind of introduced to them, the idea of sexual molestation part.
Let me tell you what happens. I'm going to totally spoil this for you.
I'm still going to watch. It's great.
Of course, yeah, it's great. Let me tell you where the trial broke down. They get to the trial. There was, as you said, a painstaking trial. And listen, this was all new to me because I was in college when it happened. It was just sort of on in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't follow it hardly at all. My wife, listen.
You were taking Bong 101.
Don't admit to anything.
I'll never.
As your attorney.
I've learned from this show. You don't admit to a darn thing. You don't say a thing. I was at Appalachian State University. I was studying.
Yeah.
Now, my wife is so into it, she's gone onto Zillow to look at their home and every room in it. She does that. This is what my wife does to murder scenes.
Is the home still standing? A lot of times they tear these down.
Not only is it still standing, it just sold earlier this year for $17 million.
Oh, wow.
He bought it for $4 million in 1988.
Sounds like I know someone who's going to be going to CrimeCon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a big...
I mean, the people from the Menendez show will end up at CrimeCon. Because of the buzz.
Yeah, wouldn't doubt it a bit. And the two things the A-Train, my wife, told me about the Menendez trial is there's a huge movement online, especially from young people, like get them out of prison. I wouldn't get them out of prison, no way. I mean, they walked in cold-blooded, killed their parents. But here's what really broke the trial. The first trial, Lyle, the older brother, who's sort of the mastermind, wouldn't you say, Biggie?
Absolutely.
Seems that way.
Yeah, he's the old, yeah.
He's the older and a reprehensible person, at least according to this. He was brilliant on the stand. He, the lawyer said, we need to feel what it was like to be sexually molested by your father. And he teared up and cried, and it was moving, okay? But the problem was he was getting a lot of letters from women in jail. And I think both of them have married, by the way.
Yeah, they've both. I believe Lyle's been married twice.
Twice.
Which is a real indictment of my life, of somebody who's...
Charlie Manson, too.
No need to bring that up.
Yeah.
Biggie's lack of a social life.
But I actually, when I read that, I thought, Lyle Menendez, from prison, has been married twice.
Twice. And Eric...
And don't forget, one quick footnote. Mm. Manson got to the altar, but said, I can't marry this chick. Manson.
I remember that. Yeah, that was... Man. Yeah.
I'm not crazy.
She's nuts.
I'm not. This woman is crazy.
I can't marry her.
I can't marry this woman.
So,
that's right.
Not to distract from the story.
No, but
Manson,
right.
Manson never married in prison. He got real close.
I thought of Biggie because these two brothers got so many letters and so many women. Now, they're good looking. But they were young.
Almost instantly.
And they were young. Instantly. And I thought, this man can't get a date. And look at these two getting married in jail. I felt for you. I was like, what about this guy? You know, what about my best friend? You know,
can somebody enjoy a twisted tea with Biggie?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Come on.
Where are the ladies?
Right. So
where are my ladies at?
You know? So Lyle gives this unbelievable performance. And it looks like the lawyer thinks we're going to win. You know, we've convinced the jury. We've convinced the jury. And at the very least, you're going to get.
This is revenge.
Exactly. Well, it's. They called it self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them said, we felt like our lives were in danger because of we felt like they were planning to kill us. The parents, I don't believe that.
Yeah, this is kind of a little bit of a spoiler, but there's part where they almost convince themselves that their mother is going to kill them.
Kill them, that's right. Right, which I don't buy that at all. Now, they may have been abused. Certainly, they were verbally abused. But I don't buy it for a fact because they said, we felt like within the next couple of days they were going to kill us, so we had to kill them. I don't believe that. Anyhow, Lyle gets a call from this woman. He's been talking to her for a while and says, and they're in love. Like, they're falling in love over the phone. He's never even met her. But he tells her, he's like, I just gave the performance of a lifetime on the stand today, and I've been practicing crying, and it's been great. And she says, well, let's write a book together, and then you'll have a ton of money when you get out of prison because you're becoming a star. So she says, can I record you? And he goes, yeah. And then he tells her all this stuff. So the first trial ends in a mistrial, which I didn't even know. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. So the first trial ends in a mistrial. And they have to do it the second they're getting ready to go to a second trial. Now, they're in prison for like 3 or 4 years before they ever even get to the second trial. And Lyle Menendez's lawyer goes in and says, did you talk to a woman on the phone and give her permission to record? And he said, oh, yeah. He's like, well, I'm going to write a book. And she says, well, she's already written the book and she's releasing all your audio recordings. And you're saying you caught yourself to cry and you practiced.
Is that good?
I know, it's great, isn't it?
Right.
I did so well.
And she says, I can't put you on the stand for the second trial because you'll be cross-examined on all of this and you'll look awful.
Like a liar.
Like a liar. Yeah. And so your testimony, which was our golden nugget in trial one, won't even be there in trial two. You've totally... My wife said that's what broke the other way. That's why they were convicted. And it was... You know, the other thing I was interested in about the law, we should talk with Lisa Lanier, our attorney, about this. After the first trial, it was like 10 women were on the jury. 9 or 10 women voted to acquit, but 2 or 3 guys voted to convict. And so they had a hung jury for a long time. So the woman who was representing the Menendez brothers brought the women from the first jury to her house and said, what do I need to do to convince the next jury? Why were you convinced, but the guys weren't? And I didn't know you could do that. I mean, they interviewed, and I was like, that's interesting that they did that. Great show. Biggie, you've got to get back to me when I text you.
Okay.
All right.
Is there something else you'd like to say to Biggie?
That's just not fair.
I got lost in the chili.
Well, thank God you survived. That's all I can say.
You know? Want to thank him for turning you on to the show, Kelly?
No.
No.
Not a single moment of gratitude. Nothing.
Not after he abandoned me like that. You can't just leave me on red. If you leave somebody on red like that, I'm always going to think you've passed. You've got to get back to me within 1 hour or I'm going to send the authorities.
Oh, Lord.
That's the problem.
Well, okay, deal. What's my address?
Oh, now you're going to bring that up on me. You know you just moved.
I think my friend is dead. What's his address? I don't know.
What's his real name?
I don't know.
I don't know. I thought you said you were best friends.
We are.
This is going to be the strangest wellness check ever.